start this morning with the idea of what it takes now after Hurricane Irene to get people back to work. Irene rocked out public transport from everywhere from the Carolinas through New England, all of three of New York's major airports. The subway was shut down. 40% of all commercial flights in the U.S. are routed through New York. As many as 12,000 flights ended up canceled, which left hundreds of thousands of people stranded. And businesses got hit as well. Samsung was forced to delay the planned release of its newest phone because it couldn't get shipments into New York. Weddings were canceled. Convention goers got stuck in Las Vegas for another weekend. That's not so bad. And then there's those who wrote out Irene at JFK. Femi Oke is going to join us from that area now. But first, Barbara Peterson, aviation writer for Condé Nast, joins us again. Good morning, Barbara.
Hello.
All right. So let's talk about, I mean, many people at this point, especially in New York, are wondering why people went through those elaborate preparations. And in this case, it's difficult to prove a negative what may have happened or may have been worse had they not. But can you kind of give us an idea of exactly what the impact was of this storm?
Well, it was huge on the airline business, as you can imagine. Part of it is that the airlines in recent years have been doing more of what we call preemptive cancellations. That means they don't want to wait until they're 99% sure, you know, that there's going to be a huge weather event. They'll start canceling maybe 24 hours, sometimes even more than that, before the storm is scheduled to hit. And the reason for that is that such a complex thing in the airline business. They're movable parts, and they're all over the country, and they're crews that may be flying in from, say, you know, the West Coast to start work in New York the following day. And so a lot of those things take time to pull together. And the idea is that if they do this now, then they don't have to have such a big job cleaning up later. I mean, in other words, it's inflicting the pain on the people at the outset rather than at the end. Obviously, nothing works smoothly in situations like this. It's just an effort to minimize the pain. So, yes, they did, I think, plan for the worst. And, you know, when the worst didn't happen and airports were actually starting to reopen, in some cases yesterday, they weren't really ready to resume flights.
All right. Well, I want to play for you a comment, Barbara. Femi Oke was out getting responses from stranded travelers. Take a listen to this particular one.
My name is Amanda.
We're just waiting to have information because we have no information. We wait. We are waiting. Don't know for why. Don't know for when. On floor, and it's difficult.
I mean, that sounds like one traveler who feels like she doesn't have any idea what's going on. Well, I mean, why is it so difficult to get people information when they're there in the airport?
Well, that has been a problem all along. Part of it may have been that there weren't the staff there because people just couldn't get to the airport. There were no trains. And I mean, obviously, some people were at the airport, as that person who you just interviewed was. But one of the big complaints that we've heard in the last few days has been that the airlines, you know, you'd think that with all the Twitter and other social media, they'd be taking advantage of that. And there was really a scarcity of good current information out there. It may just have been that they didn't have the people literally to put it in. But yes, that is a problem. That's something that they should have been doing a lot better. I think that was a problem, though, frankly, beyond the airlines. I mean, I think everybody was finding it difficult to get in good information.
Barbara Peterson is an aviation writer for Condé Nast. Also with us, Femi Oke. Femi, you're at JFK?
I am at JFK, Celeste. So, it looks like a college dormitory here right now. There are about 100 beds stretched out in front of me. I can't yell too loud because some people are still sleeping here. But people are beginning to get to life, get up, make themselves a cup of coffee and clean their teeth. And they've been camping out here since Friday, basically.
Let's hope it doesn't smell like a college dormitory. But that woman that we just heard from saying that she wasn't getting information, do you feel like the airlines and the airport actually is getting the information disseminated?
What people are doing is they're on their laptops going through to their airlines trying to get information that way. They're not getting any information, definitely airport side. Things are beginning to change this morning, though. Flights are going to be leaving here in about 6 hours' time. Arrivals are already coming in. So there are airport staff around now. There's a gentleman just here just carrying a camp bed past me. There are about, I don't know, a couple of hundred camp beds available to the passengers who are stranded here, blankets, waters, and vouchers as well.
We're speaking with Femi Oke, who's at JFK. Femi, take a listen to Ricardo here. This is another person you talked to.
It was very hard because I called many times the call center, and every time I try to improve my ticket. So I will go home Wednesday. Wednesday I will be in my bed.
What was Ricardo's problem?
Now, Ricardo has arrived over the weekend. He had no way of getting out of the airport. He's actually, I can see him, he's got a little red blanket over him. He's snuggled down now reading. But he was really happy to talk to me this morning because he has a flight at 6 p.m. tonight, and he feels very lucky. But he's leaving in 12 hours' time. He's got his camp bed, he's got his book, he's reading. Very comfortable right now.
All right, that's Femi Oke, who's at JFK getting comments from, I guess, stranded passengers. Barbara Peterson is still with us, aviation writer for Condé Nast. Barbara, what I'm not hearing here from travelers and others that I've seen on the news is outrage. I mean, do people at this point kind of expect delays? They don't expect a smooth ride when they get to the airport anymore?
Yes, I'm afraid so. That has been the new normal, as they say. People are much more resigned to it. However, there is some good news for travelers that has come. I think that, if anything, the airlines are doing more of the preemptive cancellations and trying to notify customers through email because Washington is really cracking down on things like that. And in the last week, in fact, compensation for passengers being bumped from flights just got raised from $800 to $1,300. They put in new rules about flights being delayed on the tarmac for more than a few hours. And so the mood has changed. And I think, if anything, probably that has helped, in a sense, to clean up some of these airline, excesses where they were really not paying attention to the consumer side of things.
Next step is to bring in comfortable seats so if you do get delayed, you can actually rest a little in the airport, right, Barbara? Barbara Peterson, CVAC aviation correspondent for Condé Nast Traveler, and Femi Oke, who's at JFK with stranded travelers there. Thanks so much to both of you.